What says I can go?
I can
be what says I can be.
And
I will not leave here the same.
I will not leave here the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Tap your neighbor with your Bible. Battle your sword with somebody. We're going to start out with looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I, you know, being Father's Day, and I just thought about, I thought about this today, that just as anybody, as they wake up, what is the process of going through the day as a Christian, as a believer that really knows who they are in Christ? And we're going to talk about that this morning, how all of us in here, we have been born again into the kingdom. Okay? The kingdom of God is a very real place. It's a realm where you've been translated into. It's not heaven. Heaven is a very real place that we go when we're outside of these bodies. But in a real sense, you've been translated into the kingdom of God. You're a new creature. Realize that. That what you are on the outside is not the real you. I'm not talking to the person on the outside. I'm teaching the person on the inside, revealing the word to you. You're really just living in this earth suit or this cocoon. Think of it that way. These are windows that the real you is looking out of. These are just windows. These eyes are just windows. But the real you is a new creature. Right? A new creature. But we have to be reminded of that. Let's just go through this. What is Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13? It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now get these next three words. Who hath delivered. Who hath delivered. Say that out loud. Who hath delivered. Past tense. You've already been delivered. You're not going to be delivered. You already have been delivered. From the power of darkness. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians that are still held by the power of darkness because of lack of knowledge. They're not hearing the word. They're not hearing the truth that they've already been delivered. And so they keep just hanging on to things, and they talk about it all the time. Oh, I'm bound. I got this or that. And so as a result, it just grows and grows. Because whatever you talk about, the most is magnified. Giants are there because we talk about them and feed them, and they grow and become insurmountable sometimes. We think they're so huge. But if we just talk less about them and more about the word and more about what God has done, when you magnify God, the enemies are going to be defeated. They're going to shrink, if you will, all right? And so we need to see this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the, say, kingdom. The word kingdom in the Greek is the word basilia. Basilia. It's an interesting word in the Greek because it actually means, if you look it up, it's a realm, not a physical realm, but it's a realm where one reigns, rules or reigns like a king. And we know that Jesus is the king in the kingdom. He's the king. But actually, all of us are sons and daughters of the king. We are king's kids. Realize that. You are king's kids, born into the kingdom, born into a realm of royalty. You are all born as a baby in that kingdom. But as we know, we have to grow spiritually, and you grow and mature as you hear the word and exercise the word. You grow up in maturity so you know what is in the kingdom so that you can speak and receive things in the kingdom so you can receive things that have already been done. Think about a child or a baby that's born to the queen or king of England. They're in this huge castle. And they're just looking around. They don't know who they are yet. They don't know all the, you know, think about all the knights in armor, you know, those things you see in those movies and all the huge things. And they're just like going, feed me. Where's my milk? Every baby just wants to be fed. But you know what? After they're fed, they grow, and whoever's responsible for them, teach them. They teach them, hey, you're royalty. You're a king's kid. Your father is the king. Right? So they grow up and they begin to see who they are, and they begin to tell themselves who they are because that's who they are. They look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm a king's kid. They look in the word of God. This is what we've got to do. Look in the word of God and see who we are. Hey, you're a king's kid. You're born for a purpose. You have purpose, and you have a purpose on this earth. God does not make junk.
Amen.
There is a purpose for you. So when we're we're talking about walking in the kingdom, and I throw this in, it's very important because we all have to get sleep before we wake up, don't we?
Yes.
How many of you know sleep is a good thing?
Amen.
If you're like me, I can't function if I don't have sleep. I mean, people have seen me, especially my family, when I don't get enough sleep, it could be a train wreck. I mean, it could be real bad. I mean, you got it. Some of you can just survive on, 4 or 5 hours sleep. That's great. But sleep is very important for you to rejuvenate and refresh this body so that you can move in your body, without hindrances. And let's see what a couple witnesses to this sleep. In Psalm 4:8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Look at that. And then Proverbs 3:24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Look at that. That's the word of God. That's what you have been given. God wants you to have sweet sleep. So these are verses that you can quote in the middle of the night. If you're having trouble sleeping, you just remind yourself of this, that God has given you sweet sleep. And you begin to say, oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me sweet sleep. And you just get so caught up in that, thanking Him for sweet sleep, until you just doze right off to sleep. Because He's not giving you fear. He's not giving you anything to fear about. And what can you do by being anxious? You cannot do anything about your situation by being anxious. It's not doing any good. So just begin to say that out loud when you're having a hard time sleeping. Thank you, Lord, for giving me sweet sleep. Sweet sleep. And just, that's the key. Just praise Him and keep saying that out loud. And so when we sleep, there is a time where the alarm clock gets you up and you rise up. You rise up. And all of us rise up. Some of us later than others, but some of us rise up. And then you get prepared for the day. You put on, you get prepared, right? Some of you go and you look in the mirror the first thing. And you go, who is that? What is that? Barely picking up. But you've got to get ready for the day. So, okay, you start dressing yourself. You put on, but in spiritually speaking, you have to put on the new man every morning. I've heard people say, well, when you put on the new man, you don't have to put him on again. He's always there. But no, from my experience, you have to put him on. Be reminded.
That's right.
Every morning. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. How do you put on the new man? By being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
When you put on a shirt or a blouse or a sweater, you put it on from the head. On the head. Put it on the head. So our mind has to be renewed. It says in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at that word righteousness and mark this down. The word righteousness means right standing with God. And so sin had never existed. The new man on the inside is in right standing with God because it's a new creature. You're a new creature. The blood of Jesus has made you a new creature in fellowship and right standing with God. Righteousness means justification, just as if you'd never sinned. Now your soulish mind is going, tilt, I can't understand that. So you have to be renewed up here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. So it says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. How do you renew your mind? As soon as you can, you get up in the morning, the alarm goes off, and you're walking around, begin to say, thank you, Lord, that I'm a new creature. I put on the new man. You know what? This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm healed. Doggone it, I'm healed. I'm healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. The healing virtue of Jesus is flowing through my body right now, from my head to my toes. I've got a sound mind. I've got a quick memory. I've got 20/20 eyesight. Hallelujah. My sinuses are healed. My throat is healed. My back is healed. And you just go right down the organ recital. You have an organ recital right there. Right there, you're putting on the new man. You're beginning to put on. You're getting ready for the day. You got to get ready for the day because there is an enemy out there that's roaming around. So you got to get ready. You got to put on the new man. And as so doing, you're putting on the armor. You're getting that sword of the Spirit, putting it on your side, putting it in that sheath, but don't leave it in that sheath. Don't leave it there because you're going to need it during the day. But right now, you're putting on the new man. You're putting on Christ. You're putting him on. And the best way to do that is to speak God's word out of your mouth. And that way, you're speaking God's word. And then, if you can, you can do this 20 minutes a day. Just 20 minutes, get your eyes into the word. On a 3x5 card, or if you're going to work somewhere, have that card in your car, or have something going in your ear about the word. Have at least 20 minutes a day where you're in the word. So your eyes are in the mirror of God's word. And look at the word. Look at who you are. Look at 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes you were healed. You're looking in the mirror right there. That's what it is. You're looking at a glass going from glory to glory. This is the key. I'm telling you, the key is looking at the word of God, believing it, and then confessing it out of your mouth. For your death or life are in the power of your tongue. Put your order in today for a long life. Put your order in today. Begin to say right now, with long life, he will satisfy me. I will live long and finish strong. Oh, somebody said, well, you don't know the day, the hour. He might just come in and snatch you. Yeah, he might just leave another flower in his garden. You know what? That is a bunch of hogwash. That's barnyard scriptures. It's not true. The devil will say, oh, yeah, he just wanted another rose in his garden. So he snatched him out. That sounds more like the enemy that steals, kills, and destroys. But my Bible says, with long life, he will satisfy you.
That's right.
And you will live long and finish strong.
That's right.
Be like that minister that kept saying that when he was in his teens. He grew as a minister. He kept saying, I will live long and finish strong. And when I die, I'm just going to fall asleep. And he was on a platform one day preaching the word of God. And he sat down after he preached. And he knew it was time. The Lord told him it was time. And I don't know how old he was. In his 90s, I think. He just sat there, folded his arms. He said, I just want to tell you all, goodbye. Closed his eyes, and he left. He wasn't sick. He wasn't tormented. He fell asleep. Woo, isn't that good? He just said goodbye, and off he went. Praise God. I'm reminded of my grandmother, my father's mother. She was a wonderful lady, and I really loved her. And she lived in Branson, Missouri. And I'd always visit her when I was at Bible school. I'd go down there and I'd get free tickets to the shows, you know, Branson. You ever been to Branson, Missouri?
Yeah.
And she would always take me to all the shows, you know, and I loved that. But one day, she knew it was time, and she was so in tune with things. She loved to hear John Hagee on it. She'd say, I love him. He tells it like it is. And she learned that I spoke in tongues, because I went to Rhema, and she said, I want to know about that. Let me hear a little bit. She was just like, let me hear you say a little bit. I said, no, Grandma, that's not the way it works. It's not that way. But I do remember the day that she went on, she got dressed. She made sure the tickets to the Rockettes were on the counter for her grandkids. She went to bed dressed up, laid down, dressed up like she was going to a show, and just fell asleep. That's how they found her. 95 years old. Just laid down, fully dressed, you know, makeup on. She just left. Oh, isn't that a good way? She had planned. I mean, she planned that she didn't want those tickets to the Rockettes to go to somebody else. So she was a planner, right? She was a wonderful lady. She told me one time that she was, I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but she knew the Holy Spirit. She had unctions about things. She said, I don't know, Jim. She said, one day when I was young, I heard this company called Microsoft. It was out there. And she said, I'm just going to buy a couple stocks in that. Microsoft, when it just got started. Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right? And she said, I just don't know. It just started growing and growing. And it did something like splitting. And the other day, Jim, it split. And if you know anything about stocks, then that's a good thing. And she became very wealthy just because she was sensitive things. She was saying, and you know, that's the same with us. We have the Spirit of God.
Yes.
He may show you something and speak to you about something because he wants you to be prosperous.
Yes.
So hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I'm saying right now by the Spirit of God. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and he may give you something, a cue. He may give you something to do, and that's him, so that you can prosper, so that you can have more than enough to give to others. So you can have more than enough so that your house is plentiful, so you have more than enough to help bless others.
Amen.
So be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Some of you today, you're going to get an unction. You're going to get an idea, because ideas come from God. You're going to get a supernatural, godly, heavenly idea that's going to bless so many people. And as a result, you're going to be blessed. The kingdom's going to be blessed. Other people are going to be blessed. And you're going to have a great testimony of what the Lord has done.
Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
So you rise up, you put on the new man. But one of the things I learned, and Kenneth Hagin told us all the time, he said, a Christian that just gets born again and never gets in the Word remains in a babyhood state of development. They never grow. So you have to be renewed. Your mind has to be renewed with the Word. That's imperative, that you have to start listening to the Word, looking at the Word, memorizing the Word, and speaking the Word. That's how you're transformed. And actually, that's what the word meditating, Joshua 1:8, Haggah in Hebrew, it actually means. It means to study, ponder, talk, utter. So your utter is your rudder. That's what it means in Hebrew. To meditate on the Word is to meditate on, to imagine, to talk, to utter, to study. So all those things that you're doing to speak the Word, think about the Word, going in during your day saying, hey, by His stripes I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm going to live long and finish strong. I'm strong in the Lord, the power of His might. The anointing is on me. Goodness and mercy follow me. Everywhere I go, I'm a blessing. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm at the head and not the tail, from above and not beneath. Greater is He that's living in me than he that's in the world. My God today shall supply all my need, for in His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm healed by His stripes. I have a sound mind. I've never been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I've been delivered from my past. The blood of Jesus has delivered me from the curse of the law. Jesus became a curse for me. He became sickness so I could have health. He became poverty so I could be rich. He became joy, hallelujah, so I can have His joy. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God for His word. So you haven't even gone out the door yet. You're still getting dressed. Wow! You're still getting, why? Because 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Yeah. Right.
Here's you're walking out the door now. Okay, you're dressed. You know who you are in Christ. You confess the word. You walk out the door. Be ready, because you don't walk according to the flesh, but in the spirit. There is an enemy out there. He's not a lion. He acts like a roaring lion, because he's been defanged, dethroned, and detoothed. He doesn't have any tooth, teeth. You don't have no tooth. You don't have no fangs. He is just a big ball of hot air. And what do you do to a big balloon, helium balloon that's full of hot air? How do you pop it? One little prick. Poof. With a needle. Something sharp, like the Word of God. So 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
I hear somebody say, well, I don't want to fight. I just want everything to be a bed of roses and just la, 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 like Sound of Music and all, and go from day to day. But that's not the truth. There is a fight, but it's a good fight. Why is it a good fight? Because you're going to win. You always are going to win. You can't lose. You've already won. You cannot lose. I've read the back of the book, and we win. We win. But it is a good fight. Fight, it says fight the good fight of what? Faith. See, there it is, faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. And that's what I wanted to encourage you this morning. We've got eternal life in heaven. We can't lose. Nothing down here is really worth anything that we're going to go to. We're going to a land of glory. We're going into glory, praise God. But we want to take as many people with us as we can. So he says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed, here it is, a good profession before many witnesses. So when I talked about speaking, that's the word profession or confession. Profession is professing the word. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. My needs are met. My bills are paid. And oh, this happens all the time, especially, you know, like with this church and ministry, and there's bills to pay and this and that and whatnot. You have to always, don't go by what you look at. You have to go by what you believe. And I always say, our bills are paid, our needs are met, we have more than enough. And I don't know how it happens, but when you tithe and when you give, God blesses you.
Yeah.
And you cannot give the Lord. I can't explain it, how He takes care of us, but He does. When you're a tither, man, you're protected. And He makes sure that all your needs are met, your bills are paid. But continue to say that out of your mouth. Don't get under fear, because fear, arrows, right? Arrows of doubt come. Oh, how is this going to happen? Oh, what's going to happen over here? What's going to happen over there? But just stay in that lane. Stay in your lane, and out of your mouth, cast that thought down by saying out loud, no, God shall supply my need. That bill's going to be paid. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's going to be paid. In Jesus' name, it will be paid. And say that out loud. That way you are quenching the fiery dart of the enemy with the word of God. You're quenching it with the word of God, for it's the water. All the enemy hears is, psh, psh. He's throwing those fiery darts, you know, trying to get you to doubt. And you throw the word of God at that fire. My needs are met. And then in 2 Timothy 1:4, it says, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I love this. It says, I have kept the faith. Look at that word kept. Very interesting. The word kept in the Greek, it literally means to keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
Keep your eyes on the prize. Ministers that I've talked to that quit, you know, the average minister, they start a church. This is a crazy statistic. But 12 months is all the longer they last in a city, statistically. They come in like a bang, you know, they come in like, you know, gangbusters. And, oh, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know. Oh, and poof, 12 months, they're gone. And then, and they say statistically that a community really never really takes stock in a church unless they're there for like 4 or 5 years. Then they go, okay, you're going to stay. Right? So you just got to stay.
Amen.
You got to set a course and stay with it.
That's right.
If you would know what we've been through these last 23 years, 24 years, you and make the spiritual heroes in the back of your head stand up. I mean, I throw so many things. You say, what has kept you? I've kept my eyes on the prize. I've kept my eyes focused on what God told me to do. He said to me 24 years ago, He said, teach my people who they are in me, their victory and their spiritual authority. Teach them who they are, what they have, and where they are seated in me. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age.
Yes.
And that keeps in my spirit over and over again. And that encourages me to get up another day.
Yes.
Get up another Sunday and preach the Word of God.
Yes.
See, we're going to have a fight. We're always going to have a fight, but we have a good fight.
That's right.
But I encourage you, get a vision. Get something God has told you to do. Write it down. Write down that vision and stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Get a picture of it. Stay with it. Don't let anything try to waver you from the left or the right. You know, I like to watch races. I like to watch guys run. I don't like to run, but I like to watch people run. I like to watch sprinters, you know. I like to watch them. Don't get me out there, but I like to watch sprinters. And I've seen the best man lose in a sprinting contest because at the very end, he looks to the left. Or looks to the right. And in that one split second, the other guy moves forward and he wins. What is it about that? There's something about that, the tailwind or something, but just that one little thing, looking over here, looking over there, he loses. I've seen many ministers and many Christians looking around, and it keeps them from the prize. They go to Heirs of Promise. Oh, it's the greatest. I see gator tears. I mean, oh, man, now I feel, you know. And the minute something happens in their life, and they're gone. And they're gone. And listen, if you come to Heirs of Promise, you better put on full armor.
Amen.
Because the devil does not want you to hear who you are, what you have, and where you're seated. Has anybody else experienced a good fight of faith in here? Everybody has. But you know what? You know what it is. You know what it is. And so you have knowledge of it. So you just, I know what that is. keep your eye on the prize. I'm called here to help Pastor Jim and April and Joshua. I'm here to hold their hands up. I'm here to be an encouragement. I'm here just to come so he has somebody to preach to and see out there. I'm here just to go and smile and say, go get a good job. Yay, ha, ha. And we need fire starters. I like wildfire because there's always going to be enough wet rags to put it out. I like wildfires. I'd rather preach to a wildfire than a cemetery. I don't like cemeteries. I don't like to go walk around and hold tombstones. I like fire. Right? I like when people run around just so you go in the same direction. I don't want any crashes in the middle. But I love that. I like when people get excited. In fact, it helps me preach when somebody out there goes, amen, or preach it. It does. You can open up the gift by drawing upon the anointing. Amen. So you need to do that. If you want what's on the inside of me, it's for you. Encourage and say, amen, that's it. You know? Sick them, right? It's like saying, sick them to a bulldog. Oh, wow. You know my stories about dogs, don't you? About bulldogs. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway. I love my dog. We love dogs, don't we? But I was a meter reader one time. And back in Gaffney, South Carolina. And people by their meters always had chained up pit bulls or chows. Real mean, German shepherds, you know, the meanest dogs. And they had them chained up right by their meter. And I was the one that was supposed to read the meter. I had to go, I had an iTron, a little computer, and I'd read them, you know. And one time I didn't read them right, and everybody was getting $500, $600 bills. So it was my fault. So we had to go and change that. But that's another story. So I was really careful about going to these meters, you know. And I always learned when to go by these big dogs, look at it in the eyes. Always look at it. Never act like you're scared. Because when you act like you're scared, they sense that. And that's when they come at you. So act like you're somebody. Act like you have authority. Okay? In the spirit realm, act like you're somebody. Act like you are in Christ. When you walk out the door, act like greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. You go to your job and they're all filled with unbelievers and filled with the devil. You go in there, I have authority. I have jurisdiction in here because I'm here. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I push back all those things of darkness because Jesus is here. The anointing is here. This is living in me. I like that jurisdiction. Becky told me that one time. We have jurisdiction in wherever we go. Wherever your foot treads, you have jurisdiction. So, back to the dog story. I didn't forget. See, you thought I was going to forget. So one day I was walking away from reading this meter, and one dog was off its chain. Ooh. Somebody let it off its chain.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I looked around, and I got bit on my heel. But it wasn't a German Shepherd. It wasn't a Chow. It was a Pomeranian. About this big, a little, and it was hanging on my heel. And I'm like, get off me, get off me. That's the way the devil is. He's not a huge, he's just a little Pomeranian. Yakety-yakety. It's always the little ones, right? So what did I do? I just shook him off. Just shake off the devil. I didn't get hurt. Just shook him off. So don't be afraid. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So hope that story kind of helped a little bit. Gave you some mental jog. So keep your eyes on the prize.
That's right.
How? Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. This is a great verse to memorize.
Yes.
And how do you memorize it? Read it over and over again. Put it on a 3x5 card. Read it over and over again. And then when you have that card away from you, you're going to, just by having it in your memory, you're going to memorize it. Have this memorized. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Look at that. Exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Who does that remind you of? Who exalted himself against God? Lucifer. And bringing into captivity See, Lucifer is such a loser. He lost. He's continually lost. He loses. He's already lost. All he can do is lies. All he can put forth is lies. So anything the devil's telling you, the opposite is true.
Yes.
That's right.
Think about that.
Yes.
Anything he said, trying to, the opposite is true. So what do? We use the weapons of our warfare. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
Yes.
So when you have a battle you're going to, right now you're out the door and you're in a battle, okay? You're in a battle. Somebody in church didn't look at you. They didn't say hi. It's a battle. So you're getting offended. I'm gonna leave that church because they didn't hear to shake my hand. There have been church splits over. Nobody's shaking their hand. But we've got to grow up. We're not fighting flesh and blood. Okay? So, something happens, and a thought comes, a fiery dart. Oh, I don't like that person. I have fought against that person. I'm just going to go over and over again. I'm not going to talk to that person. Oh, I just have bad thoughts about that person. Oh, and it starts. It was a fire. Now it's turning into a flame. And now it's turning into a forest fire. Before you know it, you have a huge forest fire going.
Yes.
And you know what feeds it? Air. Talking about it. You get on the phone. Don't get on the phone. Go to the throne.
Amen.
Don't get on the phone. You would not believe who didn't talk to me. I bet it was Karen. Present company excluded. No, present company excluded. Oh, yeah, well, she didn't talk to me either. Blah, 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 blah. This is what happens. Right? Oh, I will not say that. Okay. No. Okay. That was... Anyway, we are in a spiritual battle, all right? So we've got to guard our thought life. Guard your thought life. Helmet of salvation. Guard your thought life. Become skillful at recognizing when the devil throws a fiery dart. Because he's very good at it. He's been doing it for a long time. He started out, did it with Jesus in the garden. So what do? Paul was great. I'm so glad that he told the church at Philippi, Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brethren, talking to the church, whatsoever things are true, let's say it together, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are
lovely,
whatsoever things are of
good report,
if there be any
virtue,
if there be any
grace,
what do you do?
Think.
Now, in your notes, write down where that word think, because in the Greek, that word think means, it's so important, to take an inventory. It means to take an inventory of. In other words, you're looking on the shelves of your thought life, and you recognize that there's something there that's not one of these Philippians 4:8, so you got to pull it down. Take it off the shelf, because it's rotten. It's expired. It's expired. But so, yes, it's old news. But some people go their whole life, a family member, their whole life, they have ought against, that first not even thinking about them, but they've kept it going, going, and going. Yeah. It's robbed them of life. It's robbed them of joy. It's robbed them of something they could have been.
Yes.
It robbed them of a joy and a life and abundance because they've never took it off the shelf. They've never taken it off the shelf. But we have to, if you're in Christ, old things are passed away. All things have become new. Take off the old and put on the new. Put the new up there. The love of God is in me. I've got the life of God in me. April and I were talking, we were singing the other day that wonderful song, I've got the, I think it was, there's a good song. It says, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. Amen. And as we sang that, we were confessing the word. Because that's the word. We were confessing the word. And it just does something when you're speaking the word. See, you're putting out oxygen. Your oxygen, you're putting that out, you see.
Yes.
And that's so important that we realize that in this battle that we're in, we have weapons. We're clothed with the new man. And He's given you the sword of the Spirit. He's given you the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Amen? The loins are girded about with truth. And so as we walk in this walk, remember that the word, and I'm going to end with this, Well, I may not, because there's something else to do. But Ephesians 5, hey, we got time. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Realize the word is a spiritual water. When you get up in the morning, raise your hand if you took a shower this morning. Okay, half of you. The other half, hopefully you'll take one tonight. Why do you take a shower? Because you'll be like Lazarus. He's stinking. We don't want to be like Lazarus. We want to be washed in the water of the word. Why? Because if you don't take a shower, the things of the world, the grime and the gross and everything, it stays on you, and people don't want to be around you. So you got to get washed. That always gets a laugh when I ask people, raise your hand if they took a shower. Oh, how could that pastor say that? Okay, I'll get real religious. This is actually called sanctification. Theological term. Sanctification is what we're going through right now. It's being sanctified by the Word. It's being washed in the water of the Word. It's a process. We haven't arrived yet. How many, show of hands, have arrived? She went, I'm still working on the love of God. I'm still working on some of the fruit of the Spirit. But listen, we get washed in the water of the Word. And one of the best weapons that we have, and I know Bill's going to appreciate this, and everybody that loves praise, Bill, is praise, the power of praise. There's a power behind praise that we haven't really been tapped into. See, in the Old Testament, the Levites were assigned. They assigned praisers. Okay, Moses, he assigned. They were assigned to praise and play instruments. They weren't always the best instrumentalists, but they were anointed. They were chosen. Okay? So if you're on a praise and worship team, I mean, God, that's a ministry, a powerful ministry. Why? Because they went out before the army.
That's right.
They went out ahead of the army. Think about that. All these soldiers are girded to the hilt, you know, with all these armies. But the singers, the Levites, they went out before the army of the Lord, singing, "For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever." And they were dancing before the Lord and praising. And when they did that, God showed up and He smote the enemy before them. How? They were confused. And they fought themselves. Hallelujah. Think about that. How awesome is God? His presence was so strong that the enemy was confused, and they were turning to each other going, "Well, it must be your fault. It's your fault. Yeah, it's your fault." And they turned on each other and slew themselves. They slew themselves. But let's talk about this kind of praise. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:6, "The priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord." David also made instruments. Because his mercy, he said, David made to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood, and when they praised, the word praise there, it is the word hadah. Say hadah. In Hebrew, hadah. Yai, yeah. Y-ya-yadah. Y-A-D-A-H. Pronounced yadah. It means to hold the hand physically, to throw a stone or an arrow at or away, especially to worship with extended hands. When you're doing this, when you're worshiping with your hands, people wonder, why do you raise your hands? Because in the spirit, you are throwing arrows at the enemy. You're attacking the enemy. You're throwing up your hands in praise, in worship. Yada. We're thankful. We're praising. Things happen in the spirit. The enemy cannot stand praise. He's always defeated. And he always tries to defeat praise. But in Psalm 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And finally, after you've got up, you've put put your armor on, you're fighting, you've won the battles, but you're still walking. We walk by faith.
That's right.
You're still walking forward with the prize in front of you. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk. So he's talking to believers, not particularly one in particular, because the word walk here in the Greek, it means, it's stokeo. In the Greek, it literally means, listen to this, to walk in the Spirit. It means to march in military rank, to keep in step, or to walk in order, in an orderly fashion. That's the army we're in.
Yeah.
We have to walk God's army in step.
Sure.
Walking God's army. What's the vision of this church? What's the vision? What are we doing? What are we doing here? Walk according to what the vision is of this church. As a military, when you walk in sync, there's nothing, there's no enemy that can defeat you. When you're walking in sync and saying the same thing, and here's a promise, we love people, we're demonstrating the love of God, serving with enthusiasm, excellence in ministry, making disciples. That's what, read those signs, that's what we're doing here. We're teaching believers who they are in Christ, who they are, what they have, and where they're seated. Their victory, their spiritual authority, and keep walking in step. Walking in step. As we grow in numbers, we're going to grow in the power of the Spirit. We're walking in numbers. We're going to grow. God's going to give us a huge building, a huge parking lot, and we're just going to keep expanding, walking in tune, walking in step, walking in step. And somebody comes in and says, well, I've got my own agenda. We're going to go this way. Well, the army's going to go, hey, buddy, nope. There's the door. We're walking in step here. We're walking in step. We're going in step because we have to defeat the enemy that's in front of us.
Right.
See, they've tried to build churches in this area for years, century. It was called the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Huge, a long time ago. And nobody has really succeeded. Because there's been opposition. Except us. Except
right.
us.
Amen.
We've stayed.
Amen.
And we're staying. I just can't wait to find out what God's doing.
What's going on.
I'm excited. Chew on the word you've heard,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And remember, don't go to the phone, go to the throne. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Before we do our tithes and offerings, how many men?